This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Final hour, fist pump time. Who's getting it? Who's getting in the back? I see Pepe. Is Caitlin getting it back there? I don't know. I think so. All right, there it is. I see two hands up. RJ and Sean Treif also live on the fan cam, Twitch, YouTube. No one cares about what you're doing. You want everything for attention, not giving it to you. Nick Eatman, 920, DallasCowboys.com. Crosstalk with a KMC masterpiece at 940 as we go around the NFL. Did you just fart?
I burped away from the mic.
Oh.
That's why I leaned.
Why do you lean? Why do people lean, by the way? I just like to bury it into the seat cushion. I don't lean on an airplane.
You just leaned for the burp.
Yeah, to get away from the microphone.
I think people lean because they're worried about right there on the cushion, it creates a surface to make noise off of. So they lean up, hoping that there will be more noise.
Yeah, see, I think you can bury it. You get a good cushion, you can bury it in there.
It's too hot right there, too. You got to let it breathe. Too much heat.
Yeah. At least mine. Well, I also think you could trap it. But that's why I always make sure that, you know, I try to pick a seat. You know, I'm picking the airplane seat. I go up front because I know older people. Older people can't control. And really? You can always blame it on an old person.
Robert Saleh is back coaching, and he's going to be assisting Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers. I'm confused. Is this for their defense or for their offense?
They said it's for the offense, so he's going to be like an assistant to show them how the defenses would attack the offense.
Cowboy, this was Brian Schottenheimer's role before he became offensive coordinator. He would work with Dan Quinn. And so his job was, you know, they're going into, for instance, this game. If Dan Quinn was preparing for the 49ers, Brian Schottenheimer would say, hey, based on my study of how San Francisco calls offense and what their personnel is, here's me getting into the mind of an offensive coordinator of how I would attack you guys. So okay. This is what I would, and so working on projects like that, it sounds like it's similar for them from Saleh, where he will say, if I was running this defense, I'm working with the offense to tell y'all this is how I would attack you guys.
You're a Jet fan.
You are.
No. You're a Jet fan. Who, one of them is going to win the Super Bowl this year. What would bring you more misery? Robert Saleh or Sam Darnold?
Darnold, not even close.
If Saleh was a head coach, it'd be different. Not some offensive assistant.
Yeah, him coming in as just like a consultant for a Green Bay team that's already
now, if he
good.
Was a defensive assistant for them and their defense was the reason they won the Super Bowl, I'd be real bitter.
Yeah.
But Sam Darnold, oh yeah.
Yeah, Darnold would be, because that's just somebody who you're like, well, that guy's totally useless, and you purged him, and then he just lands in Minnesota and were to win a Super Bowl. They couldn't stomach that.
Saleh's former team, the New York Jets, Davante Adams apparently went off on them after his first game. He's like, there's no juice on this sideline whatsoever. It's a dead sideline. So that speaks a little bit maybe to Aaron Rodgers' leadership. He has not been able to get them going with his greatness. And Rodgers went on Pat McAfee and said, the Jets, they're just too angry.
The energy, and I'd look at myself first, you know, it just wasn't good enough. You know, I think personally and as a team, we're playing with too much anger and not enough enjoyment. You know, that's why I kind of wore this hat today as a little reminder. Shout out to Jake Ryan and Huga, but yeah. We've played this game for a long time and we get paid incredibly well. This is our livelihood to play a game most of us dreamt about or played as kids and always wanted to be in this position. And personally and our team, we just need to have a little more fun, smile more, to enjoy each other. And, you know, it's fun when you win, of course, but I think there's ways of taking some of the pressure off, and it's got to start with me this week with my energy and my approach.
He's cooked. When Aaron Rodgers is telling the media, after all the finger pointing he's done, he's been looking for reasons all year. It's the media. It's you. It's this. When he resorts to, guys, we got to smile more. He legitimately said smile more is the first step for them turning things around. They're 2-5 because they got RBF. That's their problem. It's the issue of smiling. This reminds me of the offseason when the Chiefs did that piece with ESPN where they're just so bored with winning titles now. They're like, yeah, our big focus this year is like, have fun. Like we want to have fun while we're winning titles. let's enjoy it a little bit.
Yes.
He's got a hamstring too. Got the hammy now.
We all do.
He has a hamstring injury adding to his ankle and foot or whatever. It's clear. It's clear his body is just like breaking down. And that's what happens when you're 40 years old.
Mike Evans is out for 4 weeks. Adjust your fantasy lineups accordingly with the hamstring issue that he suffered in primetime the other night. And last thing on Aaron Rodgers, Boogie Gate.
Ugh. All right. I have purposely avoided looking at this because I can't look at
somebody.
You
pick your nose all the time.
Yeah, but I don't eat it.
I'm going to defend Aaron Rodgers here. Back to defending him. He did not do this. He did not eat his boogers.
Okay, so.
Do you agree with me? This is the replay. Kalen, this would be extra credit as well. We got the GIF or GIF of Aaron Rodgers and the pick that people are trying to figure out. He didn't.
That's a guy who had two things to do at once. He had to scratch.
Yeah.
And then he had a hangnail. He had to bite. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, plus, sometimes there's the right amount of salt can be off that juice. It's not that bad.
I think he's saying.
Thought you didn't eat them.
I think he's just.
I bite my nails a lot, and then sometimes I bite them a little bit later, and you can still taste a little juice on there.
I think first off, it's not even a booger. It's like he's scratching, like he's itching. But then I think he puts his hand over his mouth because he's saying something. Like you see him. I think he just knows cameras are on him, and he doesn't want anybody reading his lips.
He did say something. You can see it.
He said, I've been alerted to this. I was thinking, man, I hope the camera's not on me right now. It actually kind of looks like it. I've actually never eaten my boogers. What a horrible word in the English language, boogers.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'm very proud of. It's tough to look and try and defend. That video is a little incriminating, but it's a bad look. But he denies Boogergate from the Jets sideline. All right, what is next? Gerard Mayo and Bill Belichick going back and forth and back and forth. This is Mayo calling New England soft after the Jacksonville London game. Before that, Mayo was asked by New England people, how do you explain this roster? And he's like, you know how. I'm not going to say, but you know how. Implying Belichick screwed it up by putting it together. Then Mayo calls him soft. Then Belichick, then he kind of walks it back and saying, we're playing soft, we're not soft. Then Belichick gets on Mayo and says, I really feel bad for these players. This is the number one run defense in the league. They're not soft. And then he went on the Let's Go pod with Jim Gray and was asked if he's ever had a soft team.
You know, look, I think when you criticize your team publicly like that, it doesn't always go over well. Not every coach has their own style and maybe sometimes that can be effective and all, but ultimately I always felt like when a team played bad, that was my responsibility too. I mean, we might have had bad playing, but we had bad coaching, it led to bad playing. So I think it's always best to kind of, take a look at yourself and do what you can do to help the team. And then, if you have constructive criticism as a coach, that's your job. But I don't know, last year the Patriots led the league in rushing defense yards per carry, number one in the league. This year they're 26th or whatever it is. It's the same players. I don't think that those players on defense are soft, but they haven't stopped the run very well this year.
Boy, what's different? The players are the same.
The players are the same.
How did you drop 25 spots?
it's wild. Like, he's just like, hey, remember me over here?
He's a killer.
Top five run defense. Your best yards per carry. Yeah. Now they're 26th. I mean, I don't know what I could have done differently.
Yeah.
He's taking shots at the guy who
did they have a Gerard Mayo played for him.
This was like his handpicked successor, I think.
It was.
Eventually, you're going to take over for me.
And then you saw Michael Lombardi, the coach in waiting stuff.
That he pulled a coup, that he was going around.
He was late to meetings last year because he was going around Bill's back having these secret meetings with Kraft.
Yeah.
And then he would come into meetings 5-10 minutes late. Well, where have you been? And that's where he was. He was staging the coup.
Yeah. And Lombardi is a Belichick apologist, of course.
Yep.
Man, how often do you see a sponsor say and want to turn down free advertising? It happened with Baker Mayfield the other night.
Yeah. So this is Baker was seen on the sidelines popping a Zin.
A zit?
A Zin. It's a very Gen Z thing, I think. I don't know. I don't know what that is.
What's a Zin?
A Zin is one of those nicotine pouches.
Oh, okay.
I sat next to a Tolo who lives in Nashville, who I think is like head or part of this company.
Oh, really?
And they dominate.
Vandy. Right. Rich.
Oh.
Rich.
I thought you meant like tobacco users.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, so he's seen popping a Zin, and they called him out. He goes, Swedish Match, appreciates its loyal consumers and encourages them not to show the product in any situation where someone under 21 could see it. It's only marketed to current nicotine consumers, 21 and over, as a better alternative to continued smoking and other traditional tobacco products. Wow. You know, the NFL also has a policy on using any kind of tobacco and alcohol during games.
Yeah, please read me their policy. Read me their statement. Well,
Players and other club and league employees, including game officials, must not use alcohol or tobacco while in the playing field area or while being interviewed on television. So you can't pop a lipper in there. You put a little...
But I can have alcohol ads during the game that people under 21 can watch and absorb. But I can have gambling during every facet of my product for people who are underage and aren't allowed to legally gamble. That's all fine, but they want to chastise and get on. It's amazing the difference between baseball, tobacco, and this.
Yeah, and then how about this? CNBC reported the day after Mayfield was
spotted... Can we get a basketball player, for God's sake, please, the dip? Can we get someone with a huge wad in running up and down? Why haven't we ever gotten that in the NBA?
Yeah, now baseball's done something where they're trying to like ban it.
As my wife would say, that's some white people ass.
Philip Morris saw its biggest one-day gain since October 2008, the day after Baker was spotted using the Zins.
No way.
Yes, that's what, according to CNBC.
Baker Mayfield's moving Wall Street.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Wall Street.
That's what the Cowboys believe.
There you go.
Trust me.
That's the thing with Baker and the Zins.
And then Baker was voted by, I think Bro Bible went to their almost 500,000 Instagram followers and asked the number one quarterback to have a beer with.
Yeah, he was number one. Now, they had a final Sweet 16. So it was Mahomes versus Dak. Mahomes wins. Hurts versus Rodgers. Rodgers wins. Cousins Purdy. Cousins won. Caleb Williams, Jordan Love. Love wins. And then you go to Lamar Kyler, Lamar wins. Burrow Jaden, Burrow wins. Baker Stroud, Baker wins. And then Josh Allen, Jared Goff, and Allen won. So the final four was Burrow, Baker, Kirk, Rodgers, and Baker.
Sounds about white.
Baker winds up winning this thing. I don't know how Jameis Winston was not in the running.
Oh,
he's objectively hilarious.
Yes,
objectively.
Aaron Rodgers, to me, has to be on here. You get him drunk, and those conspiracy theories can carry the night.
Yes.
He absolutely will be able to play the how many boosters did this guy get game if you're in the bar. Gardner Minshew.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Mississippi kids, I mean, they can drink under the table.
Yeah.
Stafford. I mean, Stafford fell off the stage. Yeah.
No, he pushed someone off.
And then you got to have Burrow and Will Levis there anyway, just to be able to pick up the scraps that they'd be leaving around.
Oh, from the ladies?
The ladies.
Derek Carr?
Just because he's great.
He can cry after his third beer.
He's so inspirational.
He'd be one of those alcohol criers.
Oh, he's definitely
emotional drunk.
He's hugging you.
I love you, man.
I
love you so much.
But you got to have Jameis on here.
He's Walchuck.
Jameis is the big miss.
He's Walchuck. He's an alcohol crier. 877-881-1053. Yeah, Jameis is the one seed. It's not even close. Frank LaFranco, injury attorney, text line around the NFL on DFW Sports Station. What did Nick Eatman think of Mike McCarthy's response to Jerry Jones? Are the tours in Frisco really a distraction? And is he hearing anything about my Dalvin Cook theory that we're finally getting the running back this week? Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, ton to get to with Dallas Cowboys insider Nick Eatman joining us from DallasCowboys.com. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. We have fan tours. We have Mike McCarthy's response to Jerry on our show. We have Nate Newton last night. We got injuries. We got jury duty. Nick Eatman, where would you like to start?
Oh, man. So at the top of your list, Sean.
Whatever
that is. I don't know.
We'll start business-wise. We'll go business-wise with the injuries. Like, what the heck happened with Deron Bland? Is this a setback? Because he and Micah did not practice yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, it had to have been a setback. And I know Stephen Jones has actually said that on the air, that it was a minor setback. He said that 2 weeks ago. It seems a little bit more minor than minor because, you know, you thought, well, maybe you're not ready to play against the Lions, but you get a bye week, 2 weeks, 49ers. And the fact that he didn't practice at all, I mean, it makes me think that he's probably not going to play. And it's not a good situation considering the fact that they opened his window. And this, I think, is the last week for that. It's a 21-day window. So this is not a games thing. This is a week, a days. Thing, 21 days, and so it looks like, you know, if he doesn't play this week, he'll probably have to be activated next week, whether he's ready or not.
You don't expect Micah Sunday, do you?
I do not. Okay. I don't. And just kind of got the vibe when he was talking on Monday that it didn't seem like he was going to be ready to play this game. You know, high ankle sprains, I mean, we've seen it. We've seen 4 to 6 weeks. At times I've seen, 1 to 2 weeks. I guess it just depends on the player. It depends on, the type of injury it is, because it's kind of tricky. It's not just a breaking a bone. It's a lot, a lot more complicated than that. And it could be, it varies with each player, but it doesn't seem like he would be ready to go. But today's a big day for a lot of those guys. If they're here on Thursday, practicing Thursday, then that changes a lot of what they can do.
So every week I go and steal some of your notes from your storylines preview, DallasCowboys.com. No offense. I don't know how many I can actually take this week. How do you preview and pick this game with the injuries that San Fran also has?
Yeah, I mean, I think they just kind of – they seem to somewhat even out. I think you still have to figure out, though, what do they have, and what are their strengths. And I still think San Francisco is running the football – you know, at a high level. I mean, and they're not even winning all these games, but they're still running the ball well. So to have the second leading rusher in the league with a 3-4 record, it just shows that they're committed to running, and they run it well when it's the game is, you know, still close and competitive. Not that they're getting blown out by anybody, but I'm just saying they run the football well, and the Cowboys have shown that they don't stop the run well. So that seems to be a big problem. I haven't picked the game yet. Still trying to figure out who's playing and all that, but I think it's going to be a challenge for the Cowboys without a doubt to go up to San Francisco and beat them. I mean, yeah, they don't have all their players. Neither do the Cowboys, but still, it's going to be a tough one.
Even though it's going to be a challenge, do you look at it like if they don't beat them now, that they never will?
No, I don't think that. I mean, I don't like now or never. I don't believe that they could come back and you know, sneak into the playoffs and play him again and beat. I don't think that. I just think this is a good opportunity, you know, to especially it would have been even better if Bland was able to play, you know, because now you're looking at maybe some full strength at your corners, and they're definitely down there. So you could maybe turn them somewhat one dimensional and really, really try to you know, hone in and stop the run. But I don't think that they never can. I mean, this reminds me of old Cowboys Eagles back in the 90s, and you felt like you could never beat them until you did, and then they dominated them for a while. So no, this is as good a chance as they've had, especially on the road, to go win this game.
Nick Eatman joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline from DallasCowboys.com. Were you sitting on pins and needles yesterday during the McCarthy presser waiting for the schemes Jerry point to be asked? And remember the different breaking points with past coaches here. Like, okay, maybe Garrett's had enough. Maybe the circus, maybe the noise, it's reached its breaking point. Do you think that we're close there with Mike?
No, not necessarily. I think Mike, you know, he's not going to give the media what they want from that standpoint to kind of show that. I mean, at least not in front of the cameras. Yeah, I mean, you can tell when he's annoyed at times. But in this case, you know, I got to remember what he was on Monday. You know, that press conference. That, you know, it was like almost Christmas morning type thing. You know, for him. And so I think he still has that mindset. I don't think anything that was relayed by Jerry, he's probably learned over the years now. Like that's, you know, like Jerry says, when that starts out, you know, just because of the nature of the entire thing, he can't do a whole lot with that. And he probably kind of laughs it off. Like, I'll talk to Jerry if I need to, you know, or not going to have this battle through you guys.
Right.
So I just don't think it's something that, you know, maybe it annoys him away from the podium, but I don't think he's going to give you that, you know, he's annoyed right then and there.
Nick, they came out of the bye week last year and the offense looked pretty different. And there's obviously been a lot of talk about schemes and concepts like we were just referencing there. Do you expect this is the beginning of a different looking offense with this game against San Francisco?
I hope so a little bit. I mean, I hope it's the start of that. That's what the bye week is for. That's one of the, and that's what the players use it for, rest and you know, maybe relaxation and just kind of like a mental break, physical break as well. The coaches need to maybe do somewhat of the same, but also use it as a time to kind of fix some things and change some things. And like, this is the time to work on these new plays, new routes, what's not working. And that's why you have 7 analytics people that on the staff that kind of do those kind of things. And so it's up to the Cowboys and the coaching staff to take that information and data and say, hey, let's apply it. What are we not doing well here? I mean, they have rankings of every single thing possible. Oh, the Cowboys rank last in this, and this. Well, if they know that, the other teams know that, and that's how they're building their game plans around it. So this is the perfect time to change some of that, and I think that they will. I think the offense will look some different in certain ways.
Did you check out or read the ESPN.com piece on the stadium, or excuse me, the tours at the Star?
Yeah, I have. I have seen a little bit. I haven't like read the whole thing, but I know exactly what's happened and what's been said. And I'm, you know, it's not new really, but I mean the article is new, but like the concept of that, you know, it's not a new argument.
And how do you feel about the concept and the argument?
You know, honestly, like I have a little different take on the tours, But for me, you know, number one, from a player standpoint, I mean, this is something that I can actually say that I relate to, because where we work, we deal with the tours 10 times more than the players ever do. Yeah. And I certainly could never imagine going to my boss and telling them that I'm distracted, I couldn't get this done because of a tour that's walking by or whatever. But
is it distracting at all?
At times, you can walk through and you're trying to get from A to B and you're moving quickly. There's a big tour here and they're excited about taking photos and all that. Cool. But here's the thing, Sean, and I've said this, and this is not just lip service. I've said this to anybody I've ever been in a meeting with, anyone that's ever relayed any comment about it. I say this: do not ever forget the fact that we work in a place that gives tours. You don't work at a factory. You don't work in some suite 23B on the sixth floor or whatever. You work in a place where they give tours. You don't have to appreciate it every single day, but every once in a while you should remember that. And that's what, at least from a working standpoint of a player, if Dalton Schultz doesn't think that way, fine. That's fine. I'm fine with not agreeing with what he thinks. But I'm just saying in general, like, and if a player thinks that way, it's easy to pile on it. But if the tours were distracting them in the wild card round, okay, that's a problem. Didn't seem to distract them in the 17 weeks, leading up to it. So I just think this is just, you know, low hanging fruit, and it's easy to grab it at this point in the season.
Yeah, it's like like you said, the 17 weeks. But you know, when they beat Tampa by 50, it wasn't a distraction. But you could point to it the following week, I guess.
Well, I mean, I would think there were 50,000 terrible towels waving on fourth and goal from the 5-yard line when it looks like they were about to score and they almost about to F it up. And then here they are, and then Tolbert makes the catch and all that stuff. So I would think it was somewhat tough to manage that, but they overcame it a lot more than Bill Johnson taking the photo down by the training table or whatever. So that's fine.
Where is Dalvin?
Currently,
he's ducking a tour currently.
In the grand scheme of things,
I can tell you this: where is he? I'm the idiot that has three fantasy football teams. All right, three is way too many. I have three. I don't like it, but I have three. He's on three of my rosters. That's where he is. All right.
So, I thought you were good at fantasy.
Well, I'm not bad.
Well, you can't be. I mean, having Dalvin Cook on there is not a good move.
We'll see. I mean, I got him on Sunday. We'll see if he plays this week. It may not be the worst move. And it's not like anyone's told me that. I just feel like if he's not – okay, this goes back to Choppy. Is it now or never? If he doesn't play now, I don't know if he'll ever play. Why would he not? Like why would they not do it? They only rank 32nd. You can't get worse in rushing. And so he's a proven commodity. This whole year was, let's see if Zeke has something left. Let's see if Rico can be the starter. Let's see if Deuce can be a legitimate running back. Let's see if Hunter Lipke. Well, let's see if Dalvin Cook can do it. I mean, we've seen all these other things that haven't worked. I think it's time. So I would be surprised if they don't give him a shot.
How much judicial research did you do yesterday when you heard Brandon Aubrey was missing for jury duty?
Not much research. I mean, I kind of laughed. Like, seriously, like, of course, like your best offensive player is out, or at least your scoring weapon.
Yeah.
But then again, like, okay, this goes back to what I said about the tour. Like, I'll find the positive in it. Okay. Positive is, well, it's a guy that doesn't necessarily need to be at practice.
Yeah.
You know, like if he misses Thursday's practice, that's probably okay. You know, it's not like they're putting in different plays and stuff like that. And I'm sure he'd be able to kick on the weekends. But it's just like if we decide to write a book on this season, I mean, that's a whole nother chapter too.
So. One day I'm going to ask you, write three books and you have to pick three Cowboy years. And you got to come up with your top three. And which one will be the bestseller? Think about that.
2016 would definitely be in there. That was crazy. But I mean,
2008 got to be in there too.
2008. Yeah. Cause I said this, I did a podcast yesterday that that if you said, what are the 20 worst losses you've ever experienced? Four of them are in the 2008.
Yep.
Four. I mean, just, they were bad. I mean, and it was half, those were like, 20... they lost seven. But, I mean, there were some bad ones in there.
Great stuff, brother. Thanks as always.
Right. See you guys.
Nick Eatman. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. It was like 2016. I was here for that. Dak and Zeke.
Dak, but Romo, right? The Romo return, the Romo injury. Drama.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nick helping to take him off the field or off the podium. Mm-hmm. Or that may have been an earlier year. Let's crosstalk and get you ready for the Mavs opener tonight with the KMC Masterpiece after this. Let's crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece Thursday edition on 105.3 The Fan with Kevin Hagelin, Mikey Bassick, Corey Majors. What is coming up?
Guys, I want to promote this first. 11:20 today, AM on the FM. Alec Medford's segment is, it just absolutely crushes Payload.
Does he have a daily one?
Yeah, well, we're working on that. Oh. We're working on it. It's really good, though. And it's just, as much as we like Payload. Uh-oh. Why did he cut my mic off? Why did Peyton cut my... What'd you do that for, man?
Let's chill out, Corey. Come on.
AM on the FM at 11:20 today. Also, my buddy's an idiot. We got
to
move.
And why do you have to do it on a Thursday, too? The day that Peyton has his segment.
Can't you give him Tuesday and Thursday.
There you go. Oh. Yeah, he gets two.
All right, we'll check the ratings.
Well, when it's tough to, you know, fill a show sheet, I understand.
Oh, I like it.
What time is the McCarthy interview tomorrow?
Oh, is that Philly?
The first or the replay?
Yeah, the replay.
Oh, what time's the replay?
Oh, wow.
We replay one interview versus a daily presser for 30 minutes.
We never
run. We don't run the presser. Yeah,
you don't?
That's G-bag.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I take that back.
I wish we did. It'd give me 30 minutes off.
I know. Just listen to Mickey.
Mickey will be on after the McCarthy press. That actually just happened to work out perfectly.
So y'all did not run his presser yesterday? Okay.
Mm-mm.
Or the day before, or the week before.
And the reason is, like, honestly, he never shows up on time.
Yeah.
So we never really know when. Usually he'll show up in the middle of a break, and we're like, well, we're not ruining this.
It's weird, because otherwise they're such a disciplined team.
Anything else?
Yeah, man, sometimes lunch gets in the way of a press conference. I'm hungry.
Yeah, Kyle Edmunds will join me at 1 today.
Okay.
Did you say join me?
No, it's the C block. C block.
Right, well, me and Mike will be off.
Join me.
C block. So
I have no problem with that.
Mike usually takes off 3 or 4 segments anyway. So
how are you going to divide your television tonight? Those of us who are not rich with the Zach Wilczek 3 TV setup with football,
elections,
Mavs.
Oh my God.
Stars.
Oh.
Elections.
Mavs.
We'll get to that in a second.
Who's playing football tonight? I don't even know.
Rams. Vikings.
No. Don't care.
Okay.
You don't want to watch boy Sam Darnold go at it?
I don't care.
All Mavs?
Yeah.
Do you, you're Mr. Cardo, and I'm just curious, do you own any like Sam Darnold rookie cards that are starting to pay off?
No.
Oh.
Kevin, divide?
Yeah, I think mostly Mavs, but the Stars will get plenty of looks. This Thursday Night Football match was pretty low on my
rank. Mavs on the big TV,
Stars on the laptop.
Football on the laptop, Stars on the phone.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, that's how we'll do that tonight.
It's a nightmare because you got 2 games on apps, which is just a pain in the butt. And it is just so stupid.
The Stars game's early, though, is it not? Is it at like 6
o'clock? Well, so is the Mavs. The Mavs are at 6:30, right?
Well, yeah, 6:30.
So that's early, too, so you get the benefit of that. You know, once the football game starts, probably mostly a lot of the football. Because I expect Clay to go 1-for-7.
Stephen A. hates Luka. I won't say the Mavs.
He does.
He hates Luka so much that yesterday I'm in and out of the living room and kitchen cooking some dinner. And they go, he starts off the whole show before the Philadelphia-Milwaukee game, and he's like, look, I'm really intrigued this year with the West. The East, we know Boston is way better than everybody and better than everybody in the West, but we don't know who's going to come out of the West. And he first talks about Oklahoma City. Then he goes to, I believe he went to Minnesota next, but didn't do a lot on Minnesota, just a little. Then he went really in with Denver, and he was like Denver and Jokic and his role players and this and that. And then he went into Phoenix and how Phoenix could be a contender this year. And then he went to the Lakers and said, what I saw last night from Anthony Davis and the Lakers and this and that. And then he kind of ended his conversation. Like, he hates Luka so much.
I don't remember him having a history of that or us playing Stephen A. You talking about Kendrick or Stephen A?
No, Stephen A at this point now also hates Luka so much.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
He said I would take. Complaint. He said he messed up. Like Lucas should not be a first team All NBA or Lucas the and he is the biggest whiner in the NBA. I get it. He is true about that. But like he hates him now so much he won't even consider the Mavs after making the finals as one of the five contenders in the Western Conference.
Any patented hot take Mike Bassick predictions for the Dallas Mavericks this year?
Ooh, what time are we doing that at?
Oh, well, never mind.
Noon o'clock? I'll do it right now.
Say it now.
I am going to say 55 regular season wins.
Ooh, I like that. Wow. That's a big over.
So five more than they had last year. And then I'm deciding between Oak City and Dallas. It's very tough for me. I will homer it up here and in a 50-50 coin flip, I will go with Luka figures it out and gets back there.
Top. Go ahead, Corey.
And then Boston wins again.
Sean, I was at the gym this morning very early.
Well.
And I saw you on NBC.
Oh.
Oh, were you wearing a hoodie and a hat?
Yeah.
He was, and he's got ghosts behind him. And I was like, yeah.
That's my wife's decorations.
It was nice. So I couldn't hear it, though, but I was reading the text.
It was gold.
And you went in on will Luka be the whiny bee that he's been in the past?
I said emotional, not whiny bee.
I said whiny bee.
Okay.
And Mike went at it this morning. Mike doesn't think that he will change.
Right.
And I loved hearing what Coop said about if he does, that will open up more voting MVP stuff for him. I love that idea.
I hope
he does.
Thank you for watching.
I hope Kyrie rubs off on him a little bit more.
Does anyone believe
that
end of finals Luka will appear to begin this season? We're back to normal, interacting with the refs and complaining in texts.
I think it's back to normal. I hope I'm wrong, but I think back to normal.
Now, you have a lot of people arguing. I think you've argued this. No, Bobby has. You need that fired up kind of whiny Luka for his spirit.
But I see, I know a lot of people probably put those two things together. Yeah. I think what you said is just two entirely different things in that sentence. Fired up and whiny can be two totally different things. Fired up Luka, I'm okay with. Him trotting down and moping down the court because he didn't get his and one call, that's not fired
or
up.
Or arguing all the way back
that's
up the
court. That's what Rob Rory said yesterday. He's like, love Luka, love the Mavs, but like to take like that final step or however he said it, he's like, defense, Luka getting back on defense, you know, like just those small things that Luka just refuses to do unless he gets completely and totally embarrassed by his anger. And so then it becomes a huge story. Usually the next game, he is on the best behavior. It's like what we want him to be. But all it takes is a game or two later, a call doesn't go his way, a shot doesn't go in, and then he loses it.
The Dallas Mavericks are the number one bet team to go over their projected win total from Bet Online. Mavs, Hawks, knew we should have gotten Trae Young. Cavaliers, Warriors, Jazz. The top five bet under their projected win total. Clippers, Wizards, Spurs, Raptors, Jazz.
What is the Wizards number even, like 18?
Right, I don't know.
That'd be pretty low.
Celtics
are good last night.
Dude, Bobby Marks on ESPN said Wimby, he believes that he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year and MVP this year.
Well, I will say this. I am happy that the Wemby hype didn't seem to go like he succeeded.
Yes.
Rookie year.
Yes.
Right. We're not talking about a bust right now. And everyone believes in the ceiling. And
think he gets the five seed this year in the West?
Hell no.
That's what Luka did his second year.
Okay. Well, are you saying Wemby's a bum?
No, and I'm saying at some point, this is the greatest thing in the world, being a rookie and even maybe a second year player. Winning doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Look at Luka now. Look at all of the haters, and they have at times a right to be for his attitude. But the dude has made it to two conference finals and an NBA finals in 6 years, getting drafted by one of the 3 to 5 worst teams in the NBA. So it's great. Wimby has this window right now where winning doesn't matter in his career.
Yeah.
But very quickly, winning is going to matter, and then he's going to start getting all of these jabs at, well, why aren't you in the playoffs? Why aren't you winning in the playoffs?
I think you got to look at him more, not compared to Luka, because Luka's got more control over the game, the ball in his hands.
even though like he's a much more higher prospect than Joker was, I think Joker wasn't anything for 3 years.
Boston 3-1 to win the title, then the Thunder at 6-1, then the Knicks, Sixers 9-1, then the Mavs are tied with Denver at 10-1, then Minnesota at 11-1, then the Bucks value, I think, 14-1, Phoenix 25-1, Grizzlies forgotten about 28-1. The West. Nice. The freaking West. Mm. Okay, our voting theory.
Oh. Okay.
That we had earlier in the show.
Yes.
Bobby, why don't you unveil it? You've been quiet this segment.
Okay. So I think this is actually Choppy's thought process. But
pass the blame.
I'm saying I agreed with it. I thought it was a great observation. So I'm fully behind it.
Just giving credit where credit's due.
RJ believes, or we all kind of came to the conclusion that if you share the I voted sticker, that tells me with about 90% certainty that I know who you voted for.
Huh. Do you all agree?
Ooh. Do you feel like when you see the I voted sticker, you know their political ideology just
by that? Where do you live? What city do you live in?
Flower Mound.
That is really interesting.
Like if you see an American flag.
Like on Instagram or something like that. Instagram, somebody shares it.
I think like on that. Social media, yes. I think in Flower Mound, no.
Which one's more predictable? Okay. The flag on your vehicle or in your yard or the I voted sticker?
Man, that is a good...
Or in your profile pic, the flag.
I'm, you don't have to go into this if you don't want to, but the assumption is... If you
put I voted, you voted Democrat.
Yeah. Okay.
See, you that's knew. I didn't even have to say it.
I mean, as soon as you said that, I figured.
That's nowhere near as accurate. And
suckers and losers.
The flag, I think, is more.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that, you know, I could drive by anybody in the car and tell you exactly who they voted for.
Is that right?
If they don't have a mask on?
No. If you have both hands in the wheel and your head is up that, I know exactly who you voted for.
Democrat.
That is?
Drive, Jill
Democrat.
Stein.
You're driving slow.
And you're old. Huh? You're an old person.
No.
I kind of want to ride in the car with you now just to be like, Democrat, there, Republican.
Hands in the wheel, like, look it up. You're looking like down your nose at the car.
It's such a jackass.
I know exactly who you voted for.
I told Kevin I have this.
More than one bumper sticker? I know.
You're a Republican.
Driving slow? I know.
We got these two houses across the...
More than one bumper sticker.
Actually,
I
could see that going either way.
It depends on what they are.
Obviously, it depends.
Well, because the left can just have their one bumper sticker that says coexist, and then there's everything else.
A lot of green on there.
That tells you. Yeah, that doesn't...
Talk about the parks. I know who it is. Talk about guns. I know who it is.
Corey?
We have this house across the street from another in my neighborhood. One sign says Liberty lives here, and the other one across the street says, this is awkward, Liberty also lives here. And
so there's two houses around the corner from us that they've got sign wars. There's one of the has like 17 signs in their yard, legitimately.
I drove by our like city whatever office, the local community center, and there's 85 signs, and I'm like, don't you think that at some point it gets lost? Like...
Kind of.
I'm
not reading every sign. I mean, one sign standalone, but you drive by the places where there's 40 signs all together.
Yeah.
Unless they're all the same sign, I don't think I'm going to be influenced.
I mean, we in my neighborhood, you don't know what we do. We see a car driving down that doesn't make any noise. Snicker at that.
Yeah.
It's not a diesel. You don't belong here.
You guys are still naming your Little League team Indians and Redskins. And that's a fact.
Oh, man.
All right, we're back tomorrow. Redskins one is right.
Yeah, it is.
We're back tomorrow. The KFC Masterpiece is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.